listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, inviting you to another program with us. Hope you can stay tuned for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart. We have for a long time, and for over 25 years now. And we've called the church Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. We got one of our elders with us here today, Margie Swaney. We're honored to have her with us, as always. She's been a great help to us during our time of struggles, and we're still working on that. But God's in charge, and we're going to trust that He'll accomplish the work that He started with all of us. So
yes,
we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We always try to give you something that's refreshing, maybe something new that you haven't heard, but maybe you have. But, you know, we don't learn everything the first time, do we? We don't remember everything we hear the first time. So we got to continue to speak the Word of God, and we know that it's living, it's alive, it's powerful. In fact, some of the verses I'm going to read here, it uses the word and sayings, and I looked it up in the Greek years ago, and it's the word called rhema. And rhema is a living word. In other words, the Bible I have in my hands is a logos word, but there's a rhema word that comes off the pages of this, and that's what God wants us to know. It brings life. Even as Paul said, remember he says, "The letter killeth, but the Spirit bringeth life." And so we want the rhema off the Word of God, and it's a living word. So we hope you can stay tuned, as I said, for the whole hour. If you got any questions, you can call us. Pastor Don, I want you to give them the phone number and all.
Well, hello. Yes, the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. But I want to mention that we do have services this afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Yes.
And we have a special guest speaker, and he's from Israel.
Yes.
And he's going to be in this country for the next up through December, and he's going to be speaking in many, many places. Washington, D.C., for one, with a lot of the people up there. And I'm going to mention his name. So if you can't come, you can pray for him.
Amen.
Because it's important when these people from Israel come to our country.
And his meetings, yes.
Yes, amen, because he has truth to bring. His name is Shay, S-H-A-Y, and I'll spell the last name as A-T-T-I-A-S. And he'll be with us Saturday, that's today, at 2 p.m.
Right.
His ministry is called the Shuva Global Worldwide Leaders since 2012. He's a former head of the public of the Department of Israel's Prime Minister's Office. And it's a privilege to have Shay with us.
We had him once before, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And we're going to be at the Alliance Church. That's in Stuart at 445 Southeast Osceola Street. And I'll give the phone number if you didn't catch everything that I said. It's area code 772-285-7007. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
It's good. Margie, tell everybody hello.
Hello.
Okay, we're ready to go here. Well, what we're going to talk about here today, Donna mentioned, today happens to be the last day of Tabernacles. Now, we know it runs for 7 days. You've been listening to us for the last couple of 3 weeks. And that's the actual time is the 7 days. But there's an eighth day that's added to that, and it's called Simchat Torah. It's a high Sabbath. And it's very interesting what we're going to see from this in the scriptures, because it means, that word Simchat Torah means rejoicing in the Torah. So I'm going to take you over to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read some here, and I hope you can glean from this and understand there's some things that a lot of people don't realize. You know, we've talked about this over the months and years we've been on the radio, that I believe with all my heart from the scriptures, we can prove it, that Yeshua was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. It wasn't at Christmas time like most people think, but it was at Tabernacles. And knowing God and his sovereignty and all, more likely Yeshua was born on Tishri 15, which is the first day of Tabernacles. We're going to talk about that. And then 8 days later, on Simchat Torah, he was circumcised. There's something key in this for us to know about our walk with the Lord and what he wants us to know. Amen?
So you're saying that right now we're in Tabernacles.
The last day.
It started last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be finished on Sunday.
Right.
Sunday. And so today is the seventh day of Tabernacles. Some people build a tabernacle. And in Israel, they're all over the place. And so many people here in the United States also build a sukkah.
It's called a sukkah.
In their yard or on their patio or, you know, on their balcony. And they hang fruit in there and they spend time in there. It's a time to get away and to reflect and think about what God has done, the goodness of God, amen. Even the goodness of God when they went through the desert. Everything that they had was supplied for them.
That's right. That's what Tabernacles is
about.
And
they lived in tents. You know, they carried these tents around with them.
Sukkahs, yeah.
And they lived in them. And we know that Yeshua was born on the very first day of Tabernacles.
In a sukkah.
In a sukkah, because there wasn't room in the inn. Because
that's right.
There were so many people in Jerusalem. And that's one of the three feasts that it's like a command for the men to go
to Jerusalem.
So men and women and many people went to Jerusalem. So it was a very crowded place during this time of the year. And so when they went in there, you know, Mary, and she was ready to have the baby. And no place in the inn. So she had this baby in a manger. Where they kept animals. What you could call a sukkah, right?
That's right. That's what
and,
it is.
And also they wrapped swaddling clothes around him. And she must have carried those swaddling clothes with her when she was traveling to Jerusalem,
to Bethlehem.
Which it wasn't very far from Jerusalem. But there were people all around the whole area, you know, that were staying places because they traveled in and out and around Israel. If you go there, it's not that large of a place. You know, it doesn't take long to go from Bethlehem to Jerusalem.
That's right.
Very short time. And, you know, it's interesting now, Pastor Gene, when we went to Israel, we went into Bethlehem, but, you know, they don't allow Jewish people to go into Bethlehem anymore. Now, what a lie, how the devil has taken that away from the Jewish people. They're not allowed to go. There's a gate there.
Yep.
And our tour person told us he had to get off, and he couldn't go in.
Because he was Jewish.
Right.
He had to wait till we came back
and
out.
And when we went into Bethlehem, all the houses, you would see on the houses, like on the doorpost, or the front door, you would see is either Islamic symbol or a Christian symbol, and they would be right next door to each other. But no Jewish people are allowed to live in there,
right.
In Bethlehem. But that's where our Savior was born, in Bethlehem.
That's right.
House means a house of bread.
That's where all the lambs were raised that they used to sacrifice.
All the lambs, which now they're not allowed to do that either anymore because there's no temple. So all the lambs were raised in Bethlehem as well.
That's why the Lamb of God was born there.
That's right. Amen. So on the first day of Tabernacles, and we talked about, last week we talked about those swaddling clothes.
Right.
That's the same thing that they used. The undergarments of the priests, which they put on the top of these four huge towers or lampposts.
Candelabras.
Right, 75 feet high up in the mm-hmm. sky. So in Jerusalem, in the court of the women, and they could see those lights from Bethlehem. And so, you know, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes as well, so showing that he is the light of the world.
That's right, he is.
He is the light of the world. And those four candlesticks that were in the court of the women, like a square, they represent, you know, going out to the four corners
of the world.
Of the world.
That's
so
right.
Here we are coming up to Simchat Torah, and a lot of people might be saying, well, what does that mean, Torah? What is Torah? Is Torah the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Is Torah the Old Testament? A lot of people are, maybe you're the first time listener and you don't know what Torah means. Well, Torah means the first five books of the Bible.
And what? It means teaching and instructions of God.
And so when you see a Torah, you look and you see on the news and you see a Torah out there, it's a big, you know, it's large, it's round, and they will carry them in Jerusalem. They'll dance with them at certain times, and you'll see that they'll come and kiss the outside of it, the Jewish people. They look at it as a very holy, it's the most holy book, but the Torah represents Yeshua. He is the Torah.
He is the Word.
He is the Word of God. But the Torah is not the entire Bible. It's not even the entire Old Testament. It's the first five books.
The Old Testament is called what? The Tanakh. That means the prophets, Psalms, Proverbs. That's called the Tanakh. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about are the first five books,
Which would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
That's right. Five books.
Five. Praise God. I just kind of wanted to add that little...
That's right. It's good.
Bit in. Yeah.
You know, it's funny you're talking about that.
Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah. Who's the Torah?
Yeshua.
Get excited. Yeshua, that's right. HaMashiach, is the Torah.
That's right.
So we rejoice in him, and he is the Torah.
That's
praise
right.
God.
Amen.
So let's go to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read some verses, quite a few verses. If you've got a Bible at home, you can open up and follow. I'm reading out of the King James Version, and this is the translation I believe we ought to all be in, but everybody has to make a choice on that. And so I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Here we go. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. As Donna mentioned, this is where our Savior was born. They raised all the lambs there that would be sacrificed in the temple. And so it's very important because into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. We know that Yeshua is. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. So this manger was what? Was in a sukkah. It was like a stall where they kept animals. And you know, Yeshua came under very lowly circumstances. He didn't come as a king. He came as a lowly servant. And that's why he was born there. I believe that with all my heart. So he was born in a sukkah. Now, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. Now look at verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, the word great joy is an interesting word because tabernacles is the happiest time in Israel. They just finished all this. They're just about done with it. And so it was a time of great joy. And so this is referring to the time and the season of what? Of tabernacles. Now, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, in a feeding trough inside a sukkah. Amen. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all men. And it came to pass in verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass while the Lord hath made known what the Lord has made known to us. Now this word, see the word thing? And they came to see this thing which has come. This word thing, I looked it up in the Greek one time. It's the word rhema. It's talking about a word. So we could say, and see what? The word which was come, who came. Jesus is the word, amen? And verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in this manger. Mm-hmm. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying. Now, this word saying is another word. It's the word rhema in the Greek. Word rhema, which was told them concerning this child. Didn't they get a rhema word about him coming? Huh?
Yes.
They certainly did.
Yes.
And all they that heard it wondered at those sayings and things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things. What? Here we go. The things is word again. Rhema. Kept all these rhema words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, verse 28 or 21. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. We know him as what? As Yeshua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So here we are. They go out the 8 days. So we got Simchat Torah, right? So this is showing us, I believe with all my heart, that Yeshua was circumcised on a Simchat Torah. If he was born on the first day of Tabernacles, we go 8 days and we come to Simchat Torah, don't we? Rejoicing in the Torah. Who's the Torah? It's Yeshua himself. He's the Torah.
And you know, that's a command.
That's right.
Baby boys are circumcised on the 8th day.
And what was it for? It was showing a blood covenant with God. And Jesus had to do the same thing that was required by God for all the males down through history. So his name was named by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Now, verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of the Torah of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Well, how long a period of time was that? Well, it was required with a male that the mother had to be set aside for 7 days plus 33. So it was a period of 40 days before she brought him and presented him in the temple. Verse 23, as it is written about this, in the law of the Torah of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called what? Holy to the Lord. This child was really holy because he was the Son of God. And to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the Torah of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. You know what Simeon's name means? It says his name means to hear. Means to hear. And the same man was just and devout, means he was a very religious man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Whoa! And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Lord's Christ. The Lord. What's the word Christ mean? It means the anointed one. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. This word again is the word rhema. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Is in Yeshua's name. His name means what? Salvation. Yod Heh Vav Heh. His name means salvation also.
Yes.
They all begin with Yah, Y-A-H. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And boy, when he came, they did speak against him, didn't they?
Yes.
They sure did. They hated him so much that the Jews didn't kill him, but the Romans did what the Jewish people wanted, and they were the ones that crucified him. Verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let me tell you, Mary must have been really pricked in her heart when she was at the foot of the cross, when that blood was dripping out of him, and she knew he was the Son of God. Can you imagine what must have went through her mind to see her son hanging on that tree, and she couldn't do anything about it because she knew it was the will of God that he was going to die for not only for Israel, but for the entire world. And then it says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of the great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years she'd been a widow, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all of them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the Torah of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Well, Yeshua was raised in Nazareth, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover, and so on. But chapter 2 here, for the first part, gives us a clue about Simchat Torah. And like I said, I believe we proved in our book, Pictures of the Messiah, that Jesus was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. And so if we think about it, if he was born on the first day of Tabernacles, which would be Tishri 15, we'd go out 8 days. When he was circumcised, what day would that be? Simchat Torah. Doesn't it make sense that God would do that? Why?
Amen.
Because it means what? Rejoicing in the Torah. And he was and is the Torah.
So how did we come to December being his birthday? Did all that happen?
Well, that all happened with the Romans and with Constantine and all those things that happened way back in those days. They changed Christmas or Tabernacles to Christmas. They changed a lot of things. Look what they did even with the Passover season, where we got this word Easter we came from, which is a Babylonian fertility god. Now, it is in the King James Bible, but there was a reason that God put it in there to show people that there was a pagan event that happened right around this time.
Same time.
And so everything that Jesus did was fulfilled right here about his birth and all that, his circumcision and being the Torah. And he is the Torah, isn't he?
It's almost like they're trying to, I think it is, they're trying to diminish Lord,
mm-hmm,
and raise up Santa Claus and raise up Easter bunnies and chickens and eggs and all that stuff and all those pagan things that they did before they, before Yeshua came and his birth. And so they didn't want to get rid of their old ways. They wanted to keep their old ways, but then they also wanted to, celebrate Jesus' birthday. Here they do, the same time, but who's lifted up more than Jesus on his birthday?
That's
most of the time,
Santa Claus.
It's Santa Claus, and yes, it's gifts and presents, and people are, it's selfishness, because who's got the most presents under the tree, And then they also, the Christmas tree, that's pagan, and there's many other things. The Yule log is pagan. There's so many things that that we do.
All man-made. That's right.
Excuse me. That are pagan.
That's right.
So you can, it's a mixture.
That's mm-hmm. right. Now, we talked last week, and we're going to be teaching on Hanukkah later on, but we know that Hanukkah is a season that's called, what, a festival of lights as well. Because remember when they came back after the Maccabees conquered the temple and brought it back to God, they found one flask of oil. It was enough to last for 8 days to burn. And before they could make it again. And that was a miracle from God. So it was called the Festival of Lights. So think about it. If Yeshua was born on Tishri 15, Tabernacles, if we back up those 280 days, we come to a season called what? Hanukkah, dedication. He was dedicated right here in chapter 2
yes.
to God with the circumcision and all that.
Yes.
And so this shows you the plan that God has. Anything with lights is about Yeshua. He's the light of the world. We can read in John chapter 8, verse 12. He says, I am the light of the world. And so now he's not here with us right now, but he's in us. So we let his light shine out into the world. I use this example all the time. The moon has no light of its own. The moon doesn't even turn. You see the same side all the time. It's the only planet or moon that doesn't turn. And so it has no light of its own. What does it have? It shines what? The S-U-N out into the world for us to see at night. The sun came, the S-O-N. Now, we have no light of our own, do we? We don't.
No.
But we allow his light to shine out into the world through us. And so people should see the same side of us all the time. They were consistent. We're walking in faith, trusting God, obeying the word of God. And as we do, people's lives are going to be touched around us. And that's what we want to know. I was looking at some pictures at home this morning when I got up. And I kind of welled up of things in the past that we've done at the with the church. And, you know, now we've been through this illness and all, and we're kind of struggling in times. But I look at all those memories, and I see all those people that passed through the church. They got something out of it because God had them there for a reason. We saw all the children that we ministered to at Youth Alive and all the things that we did. And, you know, we may think we're not doing much, but we've done a lot. And we can only do so much as an individual. And so you should think about that. You listen to the radio program. You may say, well, I'm not capable. Yeah, you are capable. God's called, anointed, and appointed you to accomplish what he wants you to do. You have an expected end, and God wants you to know that. I'm going to read that. I want to go over to Jeremiah 29 with you for a moment. Read a verse here. I think it's very important. Very, very important for us to know.
So Hanukkah is when he was conceived.
Conceived?
And that's a miracle. That was a miracle.
That's right.
That was a miracle that he was conceived at that time. And all you have to do is count the days, and you come right up to the Feast of Tabernacles. Right.
In fact, if you buy my book.
Show them your book, honey.
We're going to talk about
it
a little bit.
It's on Facebook. Show it over here on the front of the camera.
God's prophetic calendar. And in this book, we show charts with all this to show you what these appointed times are all about. And so God wants you to know that. And so if you don't know much about Hanukkah, we have a whole chapter in here about the festival of Hanukkah with the things that come out of the scripture and some other Jewish writings. And so you can avail yourselves of that.
It says God's prophetic calendar.
That's right. And it says right here, pictures of the Messiah as revealed in the festivals, not of the Jews, but of the Lord. He gave those to the Jews to start with, but we all have a part in it now. We're all part of it. We've all been grafted in.
It always says the Lord. It never says that I know of.
That's right.
The Jews.
That's right.
And so if you want this book commentary of Pastor Gene's, it has all the feasts of the Lord. It has Hanukkah in there. It has Daniel and Book of Revelation. And like he said,
Purim's in there.
Purim and charts. And so, and also one of the main things that's in there is the explaining the calendar, because we don't understand the calendar. We have to know what the calendar is, what a prophetic calendar is, because when we come to the Book of Revelation, God is on the prophetic calendar. Even
That's right.
as you read the back Book of Revelation, you can see by the days and the numbers that he
hasn't
says
changed.
It hasn't changed. It's still a prophetic calendar,
360 days.
And right now we don't have any calendars that are 360 days except God's prophetic calendar. And that's the one he's going to finish his work on, the prophetic
right.
calendar.
In this book. It's in this book. So we got to keep all that in mind. And that was
the Bible.
That was one thing that confused me to start with when I studied this years ago, was about the calendars. How can you have the former and the latter rain in the first month when they're opposite ends of the year? Because there's two calendars, and God changed it for a purpose, to show Israel he's going to bring them a new birth also when they came out of Egypt, over in Exodus chapter 12. It's all there. So let's read these verses I wanted to share with you here in Jeremiah chapter 29. This is right after he promised them he was going to bring them back. Verse 10 says, "For this, thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place." So he's going to bring them back, and he did. Now listen to this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." That's for all of you listening to the radio as well. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." Thoughts of what? Peace and not of evil, to give you what? An expected end. That expected end is a destiny. Sometimes we don't know where we're going, but God has us go someplace. I think about Abraham when he was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He went out into the Canaan land. He didn't know what was going to happen. He did what God said. You know, he was out there 12 or 13 years before God spoke to him again. Most people got a call that early, would probably given up and left and went back to their home. He didn't do that. He stayed there, and so God blessed him mightily. But you all, listening to me right now, you all have an expected end. You have a destiny that God's called you to accomplish and do. You may think it's not much of anything, but it's a lot. I think about the people that can't go out and get out, that pray. I think about dear sister Gloria Harris that we have in our congregation. You know, she's in a nursing home now, but let me tell you, she's a prayer warrior. And boy, that's so important in the body of Christ. No matter what your call is, go for it And just know that you don't have to be behind a pulpit. Doesn't matter what God calls you. You might be, but you may not be. And so God wants you to know that he has a plan for you. And as you follow him, you're going to have the victory no matter what it looks like. We thought maybe we were done here a year ago when I had my heart attack. Well, now we're coming up to October 1st. I'm still here. We're on the radio, and I don't have all my strength, but I'm believing that God's going to continue to increase that, and the same thing for my wife. So we have a call in our life, and it happened years ago, and we know that. And now we've been here, and we've had this church going now for what? How many? 35 years.
25.
Or 25 years. I'm thinking about, we just had a birthday on Wednesday.
That's what you're thinking about.
Yeah, that we were born again on Wednesday. 36 years we've been with the Lord. So anyway, the church has been here all those years.
25 plus years.
Plus years. And then we've been on the radio 21 years plus. And so we're doing what God has shown us to do. And I remember when I first went on the radio program here, I was doing it by myself for a while, and I just decided to lay it down. Well, I laid it down, but it wasn't a couple months later, and God told me, hey, I didn't want you to lay that down. So we started all over again. And then I brought my wife on the program, and it just enlarged the whole program that we have, because so many people's enjoyed us, because we have two people, husband and wife, that love each other and want to share the word of God and to show you that God has a plan. And you know, if you're married, you were put together for a purpose. There was a divine appointment for you to get married to the person that you're married to. And so there's something about, Don and I believe in team ministry. You know the word team, T-E-A-M? It means this: together, everyone accomplishes more. And so God calls a team. And the ministry we were ordained under, our bishop, he wouldn't ordain, people were married, he would not ordain just the husband or the wife, he ordained both of them. And that's the way it should be. In the beginning, did Adam have a wife? No, but God going to give him a helpmeet, someone that could walk along beside him. And you know, by the way, God took a rib out of him and made Eve, right?
Yes.
He didn't take a bone out of her foot so he could walk on her, so she could walk side by side, as the prophet said. Can two agree unless they walk together? And so we believe in that. And so that's a call. So Don and I got saved on the same day, September 26th of 1982. We got saved on the same day. How many people can say that? That was God. That was all God. And even our kids stood up on that night. And so we have to understand what God has signs along the way, and he wants you to know that he's got a purpose for you. And when you first come, he's going to do everything he can to show you that you've done the right thing. I've told this many times at church. When I first got saved, I had all these signs that were happening to me at work. I couldn't believe it. And one day they all stopped. And I asked the Lord. I used to go in early, and I'd close my office door, and I'd pray and read my Bible. And I'd say, you know, I had all these signs. Why don't I have them anymore? You know what he told me? He says, you've done the right thing with me. Now I want you to walk with me from this day forward. You don't need a sign. You need to walk by faith. That's what, remember, we walk by faith, not by sight, don't we? So God has a call. So this is important for you to understand this. So we got this time called Tabernacles. What an awesome, you know, Israel just went through this, and they were shouting, dancing in the street, all the wonderful things, because it's a season of your joy. We read over there in Luke chapter 2, how important it is that God wants you to know that this is a season of joy every year, to remember not only that the tabernacles was a remembrance of when they were in the wilderness. He put them in sukkahs to live in. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. He gave them manna every day to eat. He took care of them. That's what it was all about. So that's a reminder to them every year where God brought them from to. Think about yourself. He brought you from someplace. I was 42 when I got saved. He brought you from someplace to someplace that he wants you to be, to do something for the kingdom of God. No matter how small you may think it is, it's important. And so Tabernacles is a renewal of all that in our heart, to remember what God's done for all of us. Amen? And so we got to keep all those things in mind. So we love you. That's why we're on this program. I hope you understand some things about this. The Tabernacles is important. Now, a lot of people say, well, Jesus wasn't born at Tabernacles. Well, if you get my book, The very first appendix I have in this book is the biblical dates for Yeshua's conception and birth, and you can prove it in the scriptures. It's been there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and nobody's looked at it, okay? But I did. I looked at it, and I saw all this, and so you can read it for yourself, and you'll see what we're talking about. It's an important time, and it's amazing how God chose that time Now, I don't know why he chose the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall, but he did, didn't he? That was his choice. He's sovereign. He can do what he wants. But all of it's revealing the Son of God, how he was going to come in a humble surroundings when he came. He didn't come in a chariot with like a king would or anything. He was in a little stable where they kept horses and all that, and he was laid in a manger, a feeding trough, because he's the Word of God.
Wrapped in swaddling.
He's the Word of God. He's the Word of God. He's there to feed us. Amen?
To show he's the high priest that suffered and died.
That's right.
And he bled, just like those swaddling clothes. You know.
That's right.
He suffered and died, showing that he's the high priest, the last high priest. Amen?
So if you'd like to have this book,
one.
I'm offering it for $25 and maybe $4 for shipping and handling. You can call, or if you don't want to call, make out a check to our ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995, and we'll get you the book out. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed, not because of me, but because what's in this. This is all the Word of God, nothing else but the Word of God. And I revealed some things in this book that I had never thought myself. I never comprehended it. But now that I know all these appointed times and how they fit in, let me tell you, your faith goes from a certain level even higher, because I know that I know who I am and who I belong to. And you will too as you read this. God loves you so much, and so we hope you realize that on the program here today. All right, Pastor Don, you got something you want before I start preaching?
Well, you're doing awesome. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we have Miss Margie Swaney with us, and she's going to share from the Word of God, and so something the Lord has laid on her heart. And it kind of goes along with this, Pastor Gene.
Yes.
And so, Margie, hold on a second. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Gene, for the wonderful teaching. And we are rejoicing in the Torah.
Yes.
Simchat Torah. Thank you, Father. And the final days of Tabernacles. Amen. And we are approaching, in fact, the last two chapters of the Torah, chapters 33 and 34. So around October 1st and 2nd, those will be the final days of the Torah reading for this past year. Amen.
Then they start all over again.
And then every year they start over, and Spirit of Prophecy Ministries starts over too. Because it's not boring and it's not dull, because each time that you go through the Torah, you learn something new and refreshing to our spirits. Amen. So these are the last two chapters of the Torah, which are the first five books of the First Covenant, or the Old Testament. And Pastor Gene said that the Old Testament is also called the Tanakh. And even though it says the Old Testament, the words are alive and they're in our hearts. For these books in our Bible are the teaching instructions of God, and God's word is holy. And we know Jesus, Yeshua, is the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in chapter 33, verse 1, I'd just like to read this. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. In this chapter, Moses has gathered the heads of the people and the 12 tribes of Israel, and he blessed each tribe and spoke God's heart for his people. So, I don't have time to read each of those blessings. So if you want to go to Deuteronomy 33, it is wonderful to read. So in chapter 34, God is showing Moses from the top of Pisgah. And in verse 4 and 5, if we'd like to go there, this is about Moses' death. And God took him to the top of the mountain, Pisgah. So in verse 4, the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine own eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Praise the Lord. So that is another good chapter, and this concludes the Torah reading. Amen. So in the past few weeks, I'd like to share, Pastor Gene has been teaching on the feasts of the Lord. And with this week's Torah reading, we were brought to Leviticus 22. So if we could turn to Leviticus 22 and 23. I'll be mostly in Leviticus 23. The Lord has showed me that as Pastor Gene has explained all about the feast and what the process is and all the
all the meanings behind it, yeah.
All the meanings behind it and yeah. All the offerings and the sacrifices, the Lord was showing me that the word of God is not just was not just prevalent for the Old Testament. It is alive and well
yes.
for today. And you know, the Lord in his word tells us that he commands us, it's a statute forever
right.
to honor these feasts.
Yes.
So I'd like to say a few things about this. And also in Numbers 29. In chapter 23 of Leviticus, God is telling Moses to speak to the children of Israel concerning the feasts of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. And a holy convocation, those are high Sabbaths, right,
that's
Pastor
right.
Gene?
They're high Sabbaths.
They're high Sabbaths. Even these are my feasts.
That's right.
So I'm not going to talk about each and every one of them. Pastor Gene has talked about all the feasts of the Lord, but I would just like to share a few things. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in
yes.
all your dwellings.
Thank you, Lord.
These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. In verse 27, and this is on the Day of Atonement, I'm speaking about here, Yom Kippur. Also on the 10th day of this 7th month, which is Tishri, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And these are to be honored, as I said, forever. Forever.
They were never to end, were they?
They were never to end.
And we're
going to
practice them in the kingdom.
Yes. So this is a preparation. And
that's
so
right.
People say that the Torah is not for today. It is. It's in the Word. We just read it. Thank you, Father. So in the first covenant, there were sacrifices of animals and offerings. And the blood had to be shed. Absolutely. And the animals were to not have blemishes and no spots. And this is a picture of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And the sprinkling of the blood of the animal around the altar for the atonement of our sins. And once a year, it was also sprinkled on the mercy seat, Pastor
Gene. That's right.
Gene.
Yeah, that's what the high priest had to do.
Yes, amen. For also for burnt offerings unto the Lord. The blood of animals had to be shed. It covered. It didn't take it away. It covered the sins until Yeshua came to earth to be our propitiation. He is the holy sacrifice with no blemishes and no sin in him.
Absolutely.
He is the pure sacrificial lamb that was sacrificed once for all.
That's right. Once and for all. And for all. All right. All people.
All people. All our sins were put upon him that we might be free. And the veil was torn that we may come into his presence.
Hallelujah.
The priest, you know, the children of Israel had to go before the priest, and they took the animals, and the children of Israel told their sins, and the priest took the animals and sacrificed the animals to
yes.
cover their sins.
Mm-hmm.
So when Yeshua came, that we don't do that no more, because he is the final sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord.
He became our high priest. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
So we can look at Leviticus 16:29. We still have time.
Oh, yeah, we're okay.
Okay, thank you, Father. 16:29-31. And this shall be a statute forever
there
unto
you,
you.
Forever.
That in the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. So what does afflict mean? What does it mean for them and for us today?
Good question, huh?
Mm-hmm. So Pastor Don and I looked it up, and we talked about afflicting our souls.
Mm-hmm.
And it even says that about it's like afflicting our bodies as fasting. There may have been fasting at that time. And when you fast, you forsake your body of food and water, and it is like an affliction.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has to eat and everyone has to drink.
That's right.
Amen. So at that time, they were to examine their souls, their hearts. They had to humble themselves. They bowed down before the Lord in prayer. And quite possibly they were feeling bad for their sins and regretting it, or as I mentioned, a fast.
That's right.
In Psalms 107, if we could go there, if we still have time.
You're doing all right.
Okay. Psalms 107.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
107:9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. And sometimes with our sins and our transgressions, our bodies become afflicted. And today, Christians, when we transgress or we sin or make mistakes, it brings conviction. And it does. It hurts our heart. It upsets our body and the routine of what God has for us to do.
Amen.
Amen? Thank you, Father. So the Lord wants us today to examine ourselves on Teshuvah, the Rosh Hashanah, the season of Teshuvah. He wants us to examine ourselves.
But he wants us to do it all year long.
Teshuvah, to turn from our wicked way. But yes, as Pastor Gene Deere said, we should do that every day. Every day we should check ourselves, examine before the Lord, because we want to be clean as possible before the Father.
What's the scripture say? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Those with pure hearts and clean hands.
Yes, and when we go to the Father in his presence, we want to make sure that we have no ought against anybody.
That's right.
And our hearts are pure. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to end in Psalms 51.
Okay.
And if Pastor Gene or Donna would like to add on to that, thank you, Father. Psalms 51 and 17.
Mm.
About as we examine ourselves and as the children of Israel were to afflict their souls. This is very good. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart.
Yes.
O God, thou wilt not despise.
That's right.
He desires that of us, to have a broken and contrite spirit and be before him at all times.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good, Margie. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about something else as we talk about tabernacles. It's something I have it in my book, and I just happened to see it this morning, and I thought we might mention this. We've got a few minutes here. Tabernacles also had a time called the Feast of the Nations. And the reason they had that was because the Jews believed that when God spoke from Mount Sinai, there were 70 nations that were available at that time that were in place. And when he spoke, they all heard it, and his voice reverberated around all those countries. And only one of them said, I do, and that was Israel. But the interesting thing with all this was the Jews, for years, honored it, the Feast of Nations, and they killed 70 bulls every year during the Feast of Tabernacles, so many each day. Totaled 70. And I something I found out about this, and this really got me excited when I read this. You've all heard the word called gematria, where every letter in the Hebrew has got a number. Like God's number, Yod Heh Vav Heh, is 26. But what I did, when I did this, I added this all up. There's 70 sacrifices during Sukkot, and they're all divisible by 7 during the week, are grouped together, and are counted. Their number is always divisible by 7, which is God's number. During the week of Sukkot, there's 182 sacrifices, 70 bulls, 14 rams, 98 lambs, and it divides into 182 exactly 26 times. So that's God's number.
Wow.
That's God's number, okay? That amazed me when I found that out.
Yes.
But it's in the Bible, and it shows you how many of those sacrifices were done each of those days to honor the Feast of the Nations, because I believe in all my heart that from I'll get it here in a minute.
Praise the Lord.
The Day of Atonement ended, there's a period of 5 days between that and the Feast of Tabernacles. What's God going to do during those 5 days? I believe this is when he's going to be judging the nations, as it tells us in Matthew 25. The goat nations on the left and the what? The sheep nations on the right hand. I think that's what's going to be happening, because it tells you that in Zechariah about dividing nations as well. So it's simple. There's so much in Tabernacles you could talk about. So, but we're honored to be sharing it with you, and I hope you got something out of it. But anyway, this will conclude the Feast of Tabernacles.
Amen. Well, I just want to close over here in Hebrews, because it kind of ties things in with what you said, because we're talking about the blood.
Okay,
We just have a couple minutes left.
Okay.
But it says here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, but Christ being come and high priest, remember he was wrapped in those swaddling clothes, of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle.
Hallelujah.
He's the perfect tabernacle.
Sure is.
Not made with hands, That is to say, not of this building, not of that natural building that they had in Jerusalem, neither by the blood of goats and calves, you talked about the sacrifices, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Eternal redemption for us. So in verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ,
yes,
who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, yes, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Yes.
So we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We come before him and we humble ourselves, yes, and we seek him. So if you've never asked Jesus or Yeshua to come into your heart, this is a good time to do that. Pray. Pray, Pastor Gene. We just ask the Lord to come into your heart. Say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and, you know, cleanse me and help,
yes,
me to,
Father,
be what you want me to be. And God will take it. He'll take you just as you are. He'll cleanse you, wash you, and he'll do what only God can do.
That's right. And most people say, well, I'm going to come to God. I'm going to straighten my life out, and then I'm going to turn to God. Come as you are, and he's the one that will straighten it out. My life was a mess, and he straightened out a lot of it, and we've all been in that place.
Yes.
So it's all about him. So if you haven't done that, what a day to do this, huh? Here we are, the end of Tabernacles, and with all these appointed times coming to a conclusion this year. Just thinking the Jews are all excited. You know, they just finished a week of celebration over in Israel. Still dancing and shouting in the streets, and it's a season of joy. So this would be a great time to come. Like we mentioned last week, Don and I found out quite a few years after we got saved, the day that we came to Jesus, on the same day, both of us got saved at the same time. It was on the Day of Atonement. It blew me away, you know?
That's right.
And so what's Atonement all about? It's all about what? Salvation.
Amen. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be with you every Saturday, Lord willing.
Amen.
On WCNO. And you can also go and listen to this again at on their website, a podcast, I think they call it. And so our phone number is area code 772-285-7007. And we will be meeting this afternoon. And we have a guest speaker from Israel.
Yes.
Shay, he's coming from Israel. And so at 2 p.m. at the Alliance Church. So come if you'd like to. It's at 445 South, is it South?
Southeast.
Osceola
Boulevard.
Street.
I think it's Boulevard.
Street.
Is it street? Okay.
Anyway.
It's over there.
It's right next to the hospital.
Right next to the hospital.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we just bless you. And is that it? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom. Sabbath peace and rest.
Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.